Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
Star Trek Podcast.
I need a sedative over here.
Here you go, Doctor.
What the f*** are you doing here? Weren't you supposed to start science officer stuff with Miglimo?
Yep, first day. It's going great.
Shit in the bed, huh?
Yes, I think that's accurate.
Ah, jeez. Are you about to cry? This guy's not even crying and his toes are getting digested.
They are?
Shut up. Don't move.
I just don't know if I'm cut out to be a science officer. I can't get the captain to listen to me.
Okay. Guess we're doing this. Tendi, of course you're cut out for it. That's why I recommended you.
Then why am I blowing it? All my studying hasn't helped at all.
No, studying is good, but in real life there's gonna be times when you need to make a mess of things before you can fix them. Like how I'm gonna have to cut this guy's foot off so he can grow him a new one.
Wait, what was that?
You'll be a great officer on the bridge one day, but you're gonna have to risk screwing things up to get there. You understand?
I do. Thanks, Doc. Good luck growing it back.
Hey, so you were just kidding about my foot to make a point, right?
Do we have all our sillies out?
I don't think so, but I think we'll have to start anyway.
Is it time to start? All right. How about you, Dan? Are you cool with that? Jesse says he's cool with that.
Cool with what?
Starting the podcast. Have we expelled all the sillies from our
I'm saving
silly
some
bank?
Up.
What podcast?
Oh, my God.
What podcast?
Dan is still being silly.
The It's Got Star Trek.
Okay. What? Oh.
All right. I'll do the beginning bits. This is the It's Got Star Trek podcast. Mm-hmm. It is the 149th episode of the It's Got Star Trek podcast. Mm. Those are the key things, right? It's the number and the name
which,
of the podcast.
Which number is
it? It's 149.
Holy ball.
Welcome to the It's Got Star Trek podcast. That's important to welcome the audience.
Welcome. Good evening.
It's also important to tell them what we're discussing, despite the fact that it is, in fact,
Lower Decks.
Listed in the title of the episode.
It's called some kind of mind, mind.
If you don't know
mind,
what we're discussing, then you're probably listening to the wrong podcast.
Yeah.
Is it called mind?
It's called Mining the Mind's Minds.
Mind. And they call it a mind.
But it's confusing because like the stone, the fantasy rocks were they referred to those as mines at one point.
Yeah, okay. I think there's a little bit of confusing in this episode.
There's a little bit of confusing.
There's a bunch of stuff out there that doesn't make any sense.
There's a little bit of confusing in this episode.
I did really enjoy this episode, as I tend to enjoy. I've never not enjoyed an episode.
As you tendy to enjoy this episode?
That's pushing it.
That's
He's tried to push that one before.
But yes, okay. So 149th episode, Mining the Mind's Minds, Lower Deck, Season 3, Episode 3. However, let's start with a very brief programming note.
Oh, no.
No, there's nothing wrong with a programming note.
Oh, you can't say note without no.
Okay.
It should be a programming yes.
All right. The brief,
that sounds ridiculous.
The brief programming note is to note that we will be switching.
Which two notes?
Okay.
That's an interval.
All right, music nerds.
That was super nerdy.
I'm merely a consumer of music. These two guys are producers of music.
Consume.
We will be adjusting our release schedule from sometime during the day on Saturday, which is our existing release schedule.
Variable release.
To midnight. Either what is it? It's midnight. It's Sunday midnight, Monday morning you can
Monday.
Get the podcast.
Yeah.
But like
Monday,
it'll be
Monday.
Midnight Monday. 12 o'clock.
Tuesday, it's not on Tuesday. That's when they give all the software updates are on like Tuesdays.
This ain't software.
Mm. Yeah, this is not a you do understand that.
This is
then.
A Star Trek podcast.
Well, don't
comedy,
tell me.
Comedy podcast.
Patrick just told me what I understand. He's like, you do understand that.
I was just making sure that you understand after 149
you
episodes.
You do understand that. That's a statement.
This is, I know, I was just making
that wasn't clear. A question. You were telling me to
you
understand,
do
that.
Understand that.
Don't tell me to understand
I
things.
I will find you.
I just wanted to make sure. We're podcasting now.
But
software updating
if
is
you
a
wanted
separate activity.
If you wanted to make sure, you would have asked a question. Instead, you asserted upon me. You said, Dan, A little bit.
I do all sorts of things. Okay. Programming note concluded. That'll start next week. But you'll know that already because you will have gotten the episode on Saturday, presumably.
Future perfect tense.
All the cool people download the episode on Saturday when it comes out at some random time between noon and 6 o'clock Eastern time in the United States of America. So that's, we can put that aside and start our discussion. So what'd you think? What'd you think of Mining the Mines?
Mine.
Beyond the title.
It was funny.
Unless you wanted to talk about the title.
No. Well, we could talk about the title.
Because you were talking about the title a little bit earlier.
Yeah, I was. I was saying
you were starting some shit with that.
Well, they were talking about, they said that the they were talking about the fantasy stones or the fantasy rocks. They refer to them as psychic mines.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
So, not like cavey mines, but explodey mines, right? Isn't that what they're referring to?
Cavey mines?
You know, that's a good question. I kind of took it for the explodey kind.
That's what I took, too.
It does make a certain amount of sense.
Oh, you mean like mining a hole?
Because they do mine through your mind.
Tunnel it.
Yeah, they mine your mind for information, which then they presumably redirect stream to the central node.
Here's the line leading up to it, and this is why they are mines as an explodey mines, because they say, anyway, now that the Scrubble, I like that name, by the way, now that the Scrubble and the scientists have agreed not to attack each other, it's our job to set up a new base and remove these, and then someone else goes, psychic mines. They read your thoughts and bring your fantasies to life. So he's talking about removing these.
They mine your psyche.
No, I'm saying he said remove these.
Yes.
Remove these nuts.
So when he says remove these, he's holding the green psychic mine. So they call it a fantasy rock. Now, mine could either mean a explodey mine or a cave mine. In this instance, they definitely meant explodey mine because they were talking about removing these, which were the psychic mines.
All right. So I disagree with the latter point there that they definitely meant that. I think now I'm only thinking this live on the podcast.
Oh, no.
No, no. This is great. We've come together like Captain Planet and have generated new ideas from the interaction of our thoughts.
Is Heart on Captain Planet, is that the weakest, most lamest one, or the best one?
It's probably the most important one, because otherwise Captain Planet would be a fucking psychopath.
I don't think I watched that.
Just murdering people left and right.
Fire is the best one.
Fire. Well.
Burn shit down with fire.
I don't know. I always liked, what was it? Like Wind or something? what were the other ones? There was Earth.
Earth
was solid.
There's Earth, Wind, Water, and Fire.
Earth is pretty solid.
There was like the four elements.
Okay. Anyway, I'm thinking now they were combining references. This is an absurd tangent of conversation. But I do think they were simultaneously wanting us to think explodey mine in the sense that a team of military officers has to remove them. So that makes you think exploding mines. But the function they serve is to mine your mind. So because they're mining your mind for information.
I
wouldn't say it works on two levels.
They probably meant one or the other in
a parallel
mining
track.
My mind.
You know, once upon a time, a different me would have argued you that
a
point to you,
you
and belabored it and not dropped it and then got all freaked out and angry.
I think there's only
and
one.
And the new me is going to do the same thing.
Why
would you say such a thing? It is not a mining mine. It is an explodey mine.
Good. I was going to ask if we should do more absurd voices. yeah, like when we introduced the show, it was like, hey, welcome to the It's Got Star Trek podcast on Lame FM.
Hey,
traffic weather together on the 8th.
Oh, weather
we
on
don't know
the
when you
traffic.
Pushed play, so you let us know when the number 8 shows up on
the
that
traffic
clock.
The traffic copter is going to tell you about all the right. Traffic.
I'm going to push back on that a little bit because that was not really a radio voice.
I got a traffic copter.
Yeah, that's the kind of voice, except for that one guy, who is it, Pharrell or something?
Oh, yeah.
Other than that, nobody else is going to...
Hey, Pharrell, I'm Pharrell.
Oh, my... terrible. Okay. So, Mining the Mines, that's the title. We've gotten through that bit.
Okay.
Someone should mine your mind's mind.
No one should crack open that particular skull. keep it all in there, Dan. Keep it safe inside your head there.
Keep it in there.
We had a cold open. which was cool. The music was extra Star Trek-y with little tinkles and dinkles.
It had little tinkly dinks.
Almost again. Sometimes they go for the Star Trek 5-ish kind of Jerry Goldsmith colorful Star Trek, the hopefulness with sinisterness. I don't know how to describe it better than that.
So
tinkly sinister.
And we see the fellow who sees his
Tony.
His name is Tony.
Speedy McWheels.
Speedy McWheels.
Right.
Seeing his, which was it, his geology teacher?
It was his seventh grade geology teacher, Gina Marino.
And she was wearing a toga.
Right.
So this is how we're introduced to the concept of both it's a fantasy, and then the fantasy turns you to stone.
Yeah.
Which was, and then there's stone people.
So... There was
and then what were they called? The Grimbulax?
They weren't called that. They're called the Scrubble Dog.
Scrundle Zoo.
Well, it was a little confusing about the stone thing. It seems clear that it was the green the rock mines. The fantasy mines. So first they said. But they were conflicting themselves. Freeman, at one point, she says that the Scrubble are turning the scientists into stone. She says, Jengis 4 is a remote planet which was beloved to... Oh, shit. Jengis 4 is a remote planet which was believed to be uninhabited until indigenous silicate creatures called the Scrubble started turning Federation scientists into statues. Right there, she says that the Scrubble are turning them into statues. But well, then...
Because this is presumably Scrubble technology of some sort. Or at least they're used by
the Scrubble. But then Ransom says, psychic minds, they read your thoughts and bring your fantasies to life, then turn you to stone. Yeah. So Ransom said that the psychic minds turn you to stone, and Freeman said the Scrubble turn you to stone.
I will admit I do not understand where this is causing you trouble, because I can believe that the Grimbulax are using the stones.
They're not Grimbulax.
Grimbulax.
Look, if I set a mine, an exploding mine,
and they call it a mine,
and somebody blows up because of the mine, if somebody's ship gets blown up because of the mine, people are not going to say the mine killed. They're going to say like, you killed my ship.
I would say they would say the mine exploded and he died as a result.
God exploded.
Okay, so in this case, you would have rather, in the script, they said the Krembulak used the mines in order to turn people to stone, as opposed to just saying they turned them to stone. I would argue against...
I didn't say they should have done anything. I'm just saying it wasn't clear.
All right.
You could interpret it to mean many things.
You can.
At least two.
As we've seen with the Rings of Power, House of Dragons, She-Hulk, many people out there interpret things in quite interesting ways.
Yep, I sure do.
Rather disappointingly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
People are stupid. All
right. Full of hate. Why are people so full of hate?
I hate hate.
That is, because they're fucking lame.
Yeah.
They're fucking lame.
Breeding hate.
Yeah.
Hate.
Yeah. And Star Trek gets plenty of that. We tend to just ignore it because fuck those people.
This is a positive podcast.
It is.
Like that positive pizza place.
Not like that.
That's the cold open. And then
Cold Stone ice cream?
No. We shift over.
This guy's hungry over here.
We have the... We have the introduction.
I want pizza and ice cream.
And then after the introduction, what happens after the introduction?
You're going to be sad after you eat both pizza and ice cream.
The outro didaction.
What happens after the theme song and all that?
Oh.
Now it's the hood. The hood.
The hood.
The hood.
The hood.
The hood is a ship. We first saw it in Encounter at Farpoint, and we're seeing it again here.
The Carlsbad.
No, the hood leaves, and then the Carlsbad is left behind with the Cerritos.
Oh, is that one of those Excelsior classes?
Yeah, Excelsior.
Oh, the hood leaves. Why does I missed that whole thing?
The
hood is the ship that actually handled the negotiations between the rock people and the scientists.
The Smarmulongs.
At the conclusion of the negotiations, when they had reached an agreement, the hood skedaddled. Left the Cerritos. And what was the other one called? The Montalban?
Carlsbad.
No, Carlsbad. You know what's interesting is Carlsbad is a city near San Diego in California. Yeah. And Cerritos is a city in Los Angeles County, California.
Exactly.
It is.
It's another.
Not 100% confident in those California pronunciations, but you're a brave person. Give them a try.
I was at least right with Cerritos.
It's a comedy
I believe
podcast.
You. I can sincerely believe you.
Did you say I can sincerely believe?
No, I sincere. If I misspoke, he does. Pardon me. I sincerely believe you.
He believes you.
So that sets up this whole story where we're seeing competition on both sides of the situation.
You know why they're named after California places in California? Because they're California class ships.
Yeah, are you just figuring that out?
No, I'm just pointing it out in case you guys didn't know.
Yeah, and all the shuttlecraft are named after parks in California.
They're silicate creatures, the Scrubble. The silicate or Genghis
back
4.
On these guys.
There's another. Isn't there another silicate creature encountered at some point?
A few times
earlier, Star Trek.
Where's the ugly bags of mostly water people in TNG?
Yeah.
And then there's the what is it the Eye of the Beholder. What is it?
There was something in like early
TOS has the well it has the Horta.
Oh yeah.
And then there's another one.
There's like some kind of
turns people into
Janus.
Like little salt cubes or something. I'm sure. Check it out on Memory Alpha. I'm sure Memory Alpha has the answer to that.
I can't remember what episode that Home Soil. I think
yes, Home Soil is the home ugly skillet. Bags of mostly water.
Ugly bags of mostly water.
Yes.
So okay, so the Hood leaves, and then they're left with. So this episode was all about insecurities. It was about about insecurities between Freeman and Mayer, who was the sort of like young and old sort of insecurities with each other. There, it's about insecurities with Tendi with herself, like trying to be an effective, you know, like assert herself. Insecurities between I'll just say Cerritos. I won't say Cerritos.
You still gave it a little.
I don't think
you
anybody.
Gave it a little something at the end.
Well,
there.
I don't think anybody says Cerritos. So.
Cerritos. Cerritos.
Nobody says Cerritos.
I want some Doritos with my Cerritos.
I want Cool Ranch Cerritos.
Cool Crunchy Ranch Cerritos. Between the Cerritos crew and the Carlsbad crew, there's insecurities on both sides there. So this episode's all about people dealing with their insecurities and finding out that we're all insecure.
I'm very impressed with this observation.
Right on.
And by because
I totally didn't get that.
Yeah, totally. And so
well,
and it's like being one side is insecure, the other side, and neither of them know that they're both insecure with each other. Except the Tendi thing is she's just insecure with herself. So anyway.
Right.
Yeah. Sorry, what you were gonna say?
That's what I was gonna say. But the two different crews of ensigns on the planet.
Yeah, there was Ensign Kearns, who was the leader, played by Kerry Wall.
Like those dudes come Walgren. Off all business, and so the Cerritos guys are like, we gotta show them we're not bozos.
And then they're
like, wait, we think you guys are totally cool because you're the Cerritos.
Right. So that was
you're like the Enterprise of support ships.
I was a little confused by after watching the episode a couple times, which again, I enjoyed very thoroughly. This was the part of the plot that threw me a little bit because they were acting sort of standoffish, and I guess I can buy in principle the idea that if you're trying to impress people, you might be dickheads to them. Mm-hmm. But I just,
it was a little weird.
It seemed a little forced in the terms that they wanted to set up this motivation for the Cerritos crew to be all like, what the fuck? They think we're jokes.
So one time in middle school, this will relate, I promise. In middle school, I kind of got picked on here and there in middle school.
You went to Frost, right?
Yeah, I went to Frost.
Is that doxing?
What? Oh, yeah. No, it's not. Oh, doxing. Oh, no. I didn't understand what you were saying.
Is that a doxing?
So in high school, I actually had an all right time. But middle school, man, that sucked. Yes. Everyone treated me like shit. And
it's a bad time.
And so there was this one cool kid who was a few lockers down from me, and he had this baseball cap, and it said "Think" on it, right?
Oh shit!
And he
said it did.
No, but check it out. This is not going where you think it's going. He looks at me. He looks at me, and he goes, and I look at that hat. He goes, "Pretty cool hat, huh?" And I go, "I never thought I'd see you wearing a hat like that." And he was all just looked at me. He's like, "You fucking dickhead." Like, that was an instance. Afterwards, I was like, oh, this guy actually wasn't being an asshole to me. This was, I assumed because he was some cool kid, he was being an asshole to me. But he was actually just trying to strike up a conversation with me. And you know what I effectively did is when he might have been in the future, he might have been, you know, that Dan guy is not so bad in the future. Now he's like, yeah, that guy is a fucking asshole. And it would have just made it worse for myself. So I can see people reacting in sort of like an unnecessarily kind of like when Boimler was talking about sweaty balls on his face in the last episode.
Was he?
When they were playing sports ball. That's what people were sports ball. I hate sports. I hate playing sports ball. Spring ball.
Spring ball.
Remember there was
even though they were actually playing like
sports ball.
Racquetball.
They were basically
spring ball. Spring ball. You have like a paddle attached to your hand or something. Mm-hmm.
Anyways,
it was like a spring ball court. It is a minor. Minor problem.
So that's the episode. Inconsistency. Anyway, so the spring. Well, what was said was spring ball. When that big dude came, he's like, hey, you want to play some spring ball? And Boimler was like, and get a bunch of sweaty balls everywhere? No, thank you. He was being like a dickhead, but like he didn't realize
it.
So
I feel that. Yeah.
I don't know. It was a little different with these people because they felt directly threatened by the Cerritos.
I think it was just a little bit confused. Mm-hmm. If anything, it was confusing because
it was confusing.
It felt like resolution come a little bit out of nowhere.
I did have to do a little headcanon on that. So
it's fine.
Or I don't know if headcanon is the right word, but real life canon to apply to
real life. You have a real life canon.
I got a real life canon up in my house. I'm going to fire it good.
Well, you know. It's your right. Your right to have a personal cannon.
So there was personal
but cannon. The cannonballs are controlled.
It's in the constitution.
I like in those movies when they shoot cannonballs at people and it hits them and their arms fly off.
Yeah. How many movies does that happen?
I think that happens in like Gettysburg.
I think that
or
happens
something.
In real life.
Yeah. Definitely happens. Isn't that the movie Gettysburg?
I think Glory. Maybe?
Oh, Glory. That's what I'm thinking. Not Gettysburg. Glory
starts out with like a reenactment of like the Battle of Antietam or something like that. Yeah, I think it's Antietam. And like people are totally getting
exploded. The Battle of Antifa?
I don't know how much it'll come up, but a life pro tip that I heard once is if you're in a situation with a lot of cannonballs flying around. Mm. If you see cannonballs flying this way and that way, don't worry, you're good. If you see a cannonball and it looks like it's hovering in midair, you gotta get the fuck out of the way because you're about to get hit.
Yeah, that's how it works. And it's called perspective.
I that's the kind of advice that sure may not come up that often in terms of being useful, but it feels like a good thing to know.
Totally.
So it had, as I was saying, it had Ensign Kearns was played by Kerry Washington, who had some roles in Rick and Morty and Solar Opposites and that Little Demon
Which one
show.
Is that?
Kerry Washington. She's a prominent
Little
voice
Demon.
Actor.
Was she like the female Boimler kind of person?
She like the Mariner counterpart.
We were just talking about that show, Little Demon, with, what's her name?
Aubrey Plaza.
Aubrey Plaza.
And
Aubrey
Danny Plaza. DeVito.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, word. Okay.
She plays a party goer in that. Anyway, so she's been in a few things here and there. Then there's Cordy is by Carl Tart.
Carl Tart, who also plays Keyshawn.
Mm-hmm. And of course...
And Carl Tart is just hilarious on Comedy Bang Bang and all sorts of other venues.
Well, then there's Ensign Young, who's played by Paul F. Tompkins.
Yes, who of course is...
I thought that sounded like...
Most famously, Dr. Miglimu.
Yeah. Mm. And he had some kind of, was that like a Maryland accent he was rocking?
A little bit of French's fried chicken.
He was
sort of thing.
he was saying
blue crabs.
Yeah, he said, I expected you to be like a hovering cube or something.
Hovering cube.
You four stood strong in alien trial.
Troil.
Wow. The Kelly class crews talk about the Cerritos. You guys are famous.
What would happen if at the bar he asked for a Natty Bow?
Oh, man. Natural Bohemian. Natty Bow. I remember those things. Yeah.
I knew those things.
Those beers. That was like if you didn't want to drink a... If PBR was like too high class for you, you drank the Natty Bow.
Well, the plot was funny. I liked... Even though, like I said, I was a little confused by the whole sort of setup to it. As that plot line went along, I thought it was very fun. We get a little bit revealed about each of our characters when we see both their fantasies
and a bunch of
later their nightmares.
Yeah, we didn't... Actually, we haven't seen... Was there any indication that Jennifer, who was a red shirt, by the way, Jennifer was a red shirt. Did you know that?
Yeah. She's always been a red
shirt. She's a red shirt.
Yeah.
In that episode, she was a red shirt.
Yeah. Always been.
I mean, in this particular fantasy portion, she's not wearing any color shirt.
I don't know if she's a red
shirt.
She might. Yeah, I don't know if she's a red shirt anymore. But
she's always worn a red shirt.
But she's like part of that crew, the red shirt crew. In that one episode where they were all trying to recruit Boimler, and they were saying like, "You got to be more fancy," and he was like,
"Yes."
You know what episode was that when they were saying, "You got to be more fancy," and then he embarrassed himself in front of
he embarrassed himself.
He embarrassed himself.
Well, while you're looking it up, I will continue the discussion.
It was in
this episode.
Oh, it was in season two, episode.
We already talked about that.
Yeah, we would have talked about that episode quite some time ago.
I can't remember what episode it is.
Well, I can remember which episode this one is.
Do you remember this episode?
While you're looking that up, the whole fantasy nightmare thing was fun, but we did learn a little bit more about our characters.
Klingon clowns.
The Klingon clowns with batleths
and
for
trombones.
Arms. They had bat less for arms.
One was playing a trombone.
So, well, yeah. Well, for the fantasies, let's talk about the fantasies first.
How much better does it ever get than that?
We have...
it was pretty awesome.
We have Jennifer, of course, is Mariner's fantasy.
It was a bat...
Leah Brahms.
It was a bat lift armed Klingon clown boner. Because he was playing a trombone.
We have Rutherford with Leah Brahms, which is great. Which was, what's her name? Sarah Gibney, I think is the actress's name, who's played all the versions of Leah Brahms. So now we have another version of
Leah Brahms.
She wanted
him to triple check her math.
She's like, oh. Probably it was probably my favorite one, not just for the cameo, just because I love Rutherford's character and him getting like turned on by somebody like talking about math is perfect.
When Tendi talks about her head blowing up with science, and Rutherford is like, "That's how I want to go." It's like he seemed to have such a clear vision of what that meant.
Yeah, I know, right?
It was kind of awesome, just like everything dying like with so much science.
But Boimler's fantasy is also fantastic because it's an admiral who shows up on some sort of like sidecar hover motorcycle that has these nacelles, and he's like, "I can make you a captain. We gotta help. We need your help with the Borg."
He's like, "Who wants to drive?"
Yeah, Boimler refers to himself as a natural passenger.
Driving scary.
All these fantasies that they're having are really well connected to the characters, what we know of the characters already.
I was going to ask about...
They weren't just played for laughs is what I'm getting at. They're funny in part because they make so much sense for those particular characters.
What I was trying to get to without Jennifer, then I got sidetracked about what the red shirt nonsense, which I can't remember what episode that is.
Yes, we know you can't remember. Okay. You also can't figure out how to look it up.
I know. I thought I had it in my notes.
The people at home are screaming. They're pounding their knees. They're screaming into their devices.
This is not how a podcast
and they're
is done.
Just like, this episode, these motherfuckers don't know shit about Star Trek. That's debatable. We can have a debate about that. You can come on our show and debate us about it.
They can do what on our show?
You're probably right.
They can come on our show and debate us.
They can do what?
They can find out how much we don't give a shit about what they think.
What I was saying is, so it is revealed that, Mariner has feelings towards Jennifer. Did we know that already?
Yeah. We didn't know that already.
How did we know that?
The other people didn't know that.
The end of the last season.
Yes.
I can't remember what happened. Like,
Jennifer rescued her.
I remember that.
Yeah. And then they were like, "Oh, we like each other."
Yeah. Oh, did it? But I thought it wasn't like in a like we're friends.
It was in a we've been mean to each other because we're attracted to each other, and they both sort of figured that out at the same time.
Right.
Which through communication. It was a very good Star Trek message of talk to people.
And then there was the part where Jennifer kissed Leah Brahm. So is that to imply that
Mariner was just trying
to work together.
That doesn't imply that Mariner
they're
also
not
has
going to go look at the warp core. That doesn't imply
that Mariner has a little bit attracted to Leah Brahms too.
No, because what was happening is the fantasies in their goal.
I know they
of turning
intertwined.
People to stone, but I think it's important to note that the Jennifer fantasy is for Mariner. The Leah Brahms fantasy, of course, is for Rutherford. Combining them together is trying to target the same thing, but then they mention we can go watch the warp core. Which my understanding is that was meant to entice Boimler.
That's an early
they're trying
on,
to get all three of them
early
right
on joke I think
from yeah it's first, from episode first, one yeah. Definitely when Boimler is showing Tendi around.
I think it was it the spy Humongous that was
god he's still looking this
it
up
it might be
I honestly want you to figure it out at some point.
It's soon going to the red shirt. The red shirts are finally looking good. Tendi is a scorpion menace. Yeah, that was
the internet.
That was the spy Humongous, which was season 2, episode 6.
All right, great. Before we take our first break, I do want to quickly touch on the nightmares. So the nightmares happen because
servant.
Of Stevens and Dan. Last week you were talking about we haven't seen Stevens in a while.
Know.
Now we have like a Stevens the heavy
whole
episode.
Bunch of Stevens.
Stevens heavy.
He's all
literally because he turned to stone and stone's heavy.
Okay. And Stevens is goaded by Mariner into. Some absurd behavior, which was really cute. I don't know why I found this so charming. So Mariner it just, you know, is trying to, you know, get Stevens on their side because he's yelling at her. And so she implies that the other people had talked shit about Ransom, knowing that Stevens, right, you know, fucking worships Ransom, not Manson.
Manson.
But what was cute, what I found adorable, was when Stevens sort of like pulled his sleeves over his hands and started grabbing her eyes. Because I don't know, there's something really adorable about that. And it's just such a natural reaction to like, I want to get moving right now. Of course, he fucks it up, knocks everything over, breaks open the crazy stones.
And here comes a big ham sandwich. Yeah, he was talking about his fantasy was a ham sandwich. So he like fantasized. He was fantasizing about ham sandwiches. What? But he got a Kukulkan instead, which is actually a
that was from the animated series. But what I was going to say,
but no, there's actually it's a real mythology. The Kukulkan. Mesoamerica, in particular the Yucatec Maya.
Yeah, I haven't seen that episode in a long time. I have a vague recollection that episode is somewhat racist.
Yeah, also. Oh, really?
Yeah, I think the implication is racist.
Well, it's also, Kukulkan is also identified as the feathered serpent god Quetzalcoatl by the Toltecs and the Aztecs.
Okay.
As Gucumax.
But while that is a TAS reference, I was going to make the point that I felt that this plot element had a very TAS feel, in that there's orbs and then the orbs show you fantasy. If you crack them open, they show you nightmares. That felt to me like a TAS style storyline more than any other sort of storyline.
Yeah, they cracked them open. There was all this fantasy gas everywhere. That was after they were playing that looked like some kind of American Gladiators game they were playing, where they were like, you know, passing the ball around and slam dunking it in the pylon thing. And, you know, remember American Gladiators?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
How did you forget? I totally forgot about them.
All right, let's take a break and then we'll wrap up the nightmare business. All right, okay. We'll be right back.
It's becoming a nightmare.
American Gladiators. Okay, we're back.
We're back.
What I wanted to comment about on the nightmare business is I thought they were all fun and great, and they were connected to the characters, somewhat less so than the fantasies. The fantasies were super on point. Rutherford's nightmare seemed to be a Borg snake, which is funny, and I like that, but I don't know if we've heard before that Rutherford is scared of snakes.
It was some kind of Beetlejuice Borg snake barfing basketballs or something.
Well, yeah, we'll get to the basketball thing in a second.
Do you remember that scene in Beetlejuice where there was some kind of like slithery thing on the ground?
Yeah, I mean, they had the sand snakes.
Yeah, but they had the sand snakes, but there was also a part where Beetlejuice himself turns into like a slithering, like, it's got a face on it. That's not a sand snake. It's something different. Yeah. Kind of reminded me of that.
It's a good movie.
Whose nightmare was like the Klingons, Klingon clowns?
The Batleth Arm Klingon clown boners?
Yeah, I don't think that's the thing, is we don't have an immediate connection.
There was...
So it could be one of the other crew. The raisin that had tentacles presumably was Boimler's.
See, I thought that was a purple McNugget.
That was a raisin.
There's no such thing as a purple McNugget.
Yeah, because you're fucking insane, dude.
Weird. Well, it had like
purple McNugget.
It had tentacles. It even had a tentacle coming out of its mouth.
It's made out of potatoes.
It had a tentacle coming out of its mouth, licking the tricorder that seemed to be made of the same material as the tentacles coming out of its body. It was a really weird and creative creature.
I didn't know.
What color is the tentacle coming out of your body?
I don't have tentacles. It's called a tail.
We learned at the beginning of this season that Boimler works on a raisin vineyard.
Oh,
and so
I didn't make that.
That's
connection.
Why it makes sense.
I forgot all about.
I thought it was a purple McNugget.
It's all wrinkly. It was a big giant raisin. I'm not entirely sure
why
it had
a big wrinkly purple McNugget,
but it was clearly a raisin to mine eyes.
Whoever heard of a California raisin anyway?
What
are you talking about?
I've heard of those.
Yeah,
been hearing about that like most of my life.
Used to be you could do nothing but hear about them.
But here
they were on TV.
Yeah, they had a
They had cartoon. A TV show, yeah.
So there was some...
I think they fought the Harlem Globetrotters at one point.
And the Noid.
There was...
yeah, and
the, they fought the Noid.
They were unable to avoid the Noid.
Yeah.
So there was... Then there was Jennifer. Then she got picked up by a wolf version of Jennifer and got ripped apart. Yeah. And you saw her guts.
Yes.
You saw her guts and then she's disappeared. And now you've got this giant wolf Jennifer. Apparently, Andorians' antenna are sensitive. Yeah. I always wondered about hats. Just because... I wonder how sensitive they are.
Hats.
It seems like that's a glaring weakness. You could just grab one and like pull on it and probably hurt them pretty bad.
Yeah,
right?
Like that dude got his
shrans
cut off.
Got
one of them.
And she did this cute thing where she made them clap together and they made these suctioning. Like
I like that cute little,
That's what she was trying to trick you.
And then they saw her later. She was a wolf being all cutesy and she was wearing a fedora, not to be confused with a pork pie.
Yeah, which was that guy who was mansplaining. You know, Mariner was saying that fellow was mansplaining.
Leave.
Yeah, he's the one she went on a date with who I think, wasn't he the one that thought like Wolf 359 was a conspiracy and the
like
the Dominion War is a lie. That I think he might be that guy. I could be wrong about that, but I think that's the case. But with the wolf character, what was interesting is Mariner's nightmare was commitment, because the wolf character was all talking about I want to be your girlfriend or whatever,
right.
and what was it, they were gonna like grow orchids together.
Yeah, they were gonna grow orchids together. I don't know why that's funny, but that is,
it was funny. So the nightmares, I mean, it's understandable when we see where the plot goes, it's more understandable why the nightmares were maybe a little less connected than the or a little less on point than the fantasies, because we with the basketballs is what reveals the plot. Something's wrong with that. And Rutherford just so blasé, he was like, I hadn't heard the term basketball in years.
Yeah, she goes, because Boimler goes, you're scared of basketballs? And Rutherford's like, I'm not.
Boimler is also like, there's a lot of stuff out there that doesn't make any sense. And then you look out there and like, it's like, that's when you see like the Klingon clown playing trombone and a bunch of other weird shit. Oh, wait, that's when you see that. Okay, now I know what you're talking about with the raisin.
With the McNugget.
No, it's a raisin.
With the where it's licking a tricorder with a tentacle for a tongue.
Yeah, I think that's a raisin.
And then you see the
raisin cane.
This guy's raisin.
Dan's raisin cane.
Raisin Dan.
Then there's the Beetlejuice Borg snake barfing basketballs.
Yeah. Right. Because that guy was talking about don't treat him like a bunch of basketballs.
No. <wait. laughs>
Were there any other? There were a couple other things maybe, but nothing that jumps out at mind with in terms of the.
I think that was all that what we got for nightmares.
Well, when after they're running away from the nightmares, they of course discover the secret room, where it turns out there's a big orb that's slurping up all their mind juice stuff, and the
scubbles and the
crambuloids and the scientists,
the pointy-eared scientists.
I don't know. Why? But I wrote down the line. It's not a real stay in Starfleet until comms are blocked.
Yes.
Oh, that was good too.
That was a fun little funny.
Yeah. I also like the follow up when Mariner was talking about how I was like, oh, maybe the crystal filled cave is actually amplifying. Nope.
Yep. they pulled those crystals out of the ground and used them as some kind of sword weapon.
Yes.
It was really weird.
That was tight.
I want to give credit to a Reddit user who I think
credit to a Reddit.
Edited out
somewhat obscure, talking about, I think it was the 25th anniversary of the Star Trek game that has
a computer game.
Yeah, it has a very similar setup because there's a cave where they go into and then they find a door in the cave and it's a secret cavern with all these like orb things. And I think it's taken up people's brain juices as well. It's a very similar plot. This is probably a callback to that, because when you see pictures of the video game and from the Lower Decks episode, very similar. Not identical,
funny.
But very similar, like a room filled with all these little orb things.
That's a deep cut right there.
That was posted on the Lower Decks subreddit by a user named OK_dimension_4707.
Oh, look at
that. Underscore spelled out?
No. Okay.
Why would you assume that it underscore
dimension underscore 4707?
Spelled out with parentheses.
So the only the second one is spelled out.
Okay. So here's the problem. Dan is being purposefully obtuse for the purpose of entertainment and humor. Good job.
He thinks it's funny.
Success. But it does illustrate a point. We like giving credit to people's ideas when we see them. It's made much easier if your name is not a ridiculous username. Mm-hmm. Come up with something
underscore
short,
is not a letter.
Not yeah, avoid the underscores. I mean, if you gotta have an underscore, that's fine, but like it's gotta be like got real words backslash. Around it. Right? And this is not a critique to our old friend who goes by the name of OK_dimension_4707.
Well,
but that's
that guy's
a lot. It's just I want to give you credit, and it's harder to give you credit if your name has got all sorts of goofy stuff. Why can't your name be like Crambulac?
So Crambulac, exactly.
Ampersand,
normal like Crambulac.
Yeah. Ampersand Cranberry 50 Sue.
That reminds me, I was watching.
Did you say Cranberry 50 Sue?
50 Sue.
That reminds
exactly
me.
It's like Klondike 571.
That reminds me of I was watching a Netflix documentary.
This is a party line.
About the And One street ball. You know, those street ball tournaments where everyone's like doing all their crazy
street
tricks
ball?
And stuff. The street ball. And One street ball. So there's these guys. Everyone has a cool name or whatever, right? They got their nickname.
Like
and
Zap.
Well, see, that's American Gladiators.
Or Crambulac.
Hoops.
But, okay, check it out. So, yeah, exactly.
Crumbopulous Michael.
So, Zap, there's one guy, his name is Hot Sauce. Now, that's a decent enough name, Hot Sauce. There's another guy whose name is Half...
Hot Sauce underscore 6969.
No, there's another guy whose name is Half Man, Half Amazing. Now, that is a clumsy name to have. Like, yeah. Hot Sauce is great. Hey, it's Hot Sauce, kicking ass. Hey, look, it's Half Man, Half Amazing. Like, you got to think of something like, yeah.
Half
like snappy.
Amazing.
It's got to be snappy.
Half Amazing.
It has
name.
The benefit of
but
being
not half man,
somewhat
half
easier
amazing.
To say than OK_dimension_4707. It's not even like 4747.
Yeah, if only they didn't spell...
There's literally no rhyme or reason behind this username.
If they only didn't spell out the first underscore for some reason.
Okay, all right. All right, that's Dan's signal to me that we should move on
tab,
from this topic.
Tab,
are you accusing me of being passive aggressive?
nothing passive about it.
Damn. Boom.
Okay. Well, so they solve the mystery. They uncover they have the realization that they're both insecure about each other, and it turns out that the Cerritos is actually considered pretty cool among other California class ships.
It's the Enterprise, the Enterprise of California class ships.
Yeah. So that
I
was
I would
fun.
Never have thought that, but hey, that's nice.
What was cool about that whole story?
What was cool about that, Patrick?
Well, what was cool about it? What I'm asserting is cool
this
about it.
This is what
it.
He's going to tell
now,
you.
This is my
you're always
my
making
view.
Assertions, Patrick. You know what they say about people who make assertions?
They're assertive.
They make acer out of shy and ons.
Okay. All right.
Jesus.
I don't know.
I just spun that one up.
Yeah, no, for real. You're saying that came right off the fucking top of your head. Yeah. Right now.
Like a pork pie hat.
Okay.
Into my mouth. Pork pie. I looked at pork pie on Google and there looked like delicious like pie made out of pork in there.
Well, that's what it is.
I've been trying to eat less pork.
Well, that, yeah.
It's bumming me out.
I should eat more pork. I hardly eat any pork.
I've been trying to cut pork out of my diet.
I think in general, that's good. But you should eat pork pies.
Chicken.
Yeah, pork pies look
you
so
can probably good. Get like a vegan pork pie.
That's. I'd rather just get something that's vegan that tastes better.
But you could get like a vegan pork, like it's just a pork pie, but like with vegan,
get
like
a bunch,
with,
make
without
a bacon,
meat in it.
Bacon pie.
You can put a bunch of curry in it.
Okay, I thought you meant like some kind of vegan pork substitute.
No.
Make a vegetable pie. Make a vegetable pie with sauce in it.
Yeah, there's all sorts of tasty vegetables.
Put a bunch of sauce in it.
It doesn't got to taste like the thing it's replacing.
That's what I'm saying. I thought you were saying
that. But you can still have a pork pie or a meat pie.
It's not a pork pie if it doesn't have pork.
No, it's I know, but there's the pork pie, there's a style to it.
I don't know.
There is a style to it.
I don't know. You're just saying things.
You can mimic the style.
You're just saying things, though.
That's not what he's saying.
That's how talking works.
That's how I talk too.
This
sir.
Is an audio
talk,
format.
That's how I talk three.
I just
program.
Say things.
All right. So that audience, that was just a little flavor. That was just a little colorful banter flavor.
That was a little fish sauce
your
in our soup.
First time listening.
You'll note that comes up from time.
A little
to time.
Fish, little fish sauce in our podcast soup, huh?
I do love fish.
Dude,
sauce.
You keep talking about food.
You want to? You know what smells intense? If you take pastrami and pour fish sauce all over
it.
No,
you
honestly,
say that about
I'd be 100% down for that. That sounds good to me.
What do you mean you could say that about? Say what you could?
If you pour fish sauce on anything, it smells.
No,
intense.
But on pastrami, it's extra. Yeah. Extra.
I wouldn't like so.
If you ever just smelled a bag of pastrami,
if you pour fish sauce on dog do, it's extra.
I know you can get pastrami in bags. It's just hilarious to me to think of people. Just huffing a bag
yeah, you think
of
like
pastrami.
This big lunch, like this big grocery bag full yeah. of
I agree with Dan in the sense that I wouldn't be that into fish sauce on macaroni, for example. But mm-hmm. fish sauce on pastrami, that sounds like it could be a...
But they both have these certain distinct smells to them, and when you combine them, I bet it would make something amazing.
We should do a podcast called It's Got Smells.
Yeah, and people can smell it.
That just might be a Dan podcast. That's a Dan solo project.
I just describe how things smell.
I think you have to sniff things and then record your reaction.
It smells like aquamarine.
I've mentioned this before, maybe not on this podcast, but I hate on TV shows when they have people make sniffing noises when people are supposed to be sniffing.
You've mentioned that on the podcast before.
Because it doesn't sound like a normal, like... No, it always sounds like a nose that's with stuffed sinuses and like everything's all stuffed up and gross.
That's not a nose sound.
That's not a nose sound
that's
at all.
That's my nose.
No, when they...
That's my nose.
don't wear it out.
No, that's my nose.
whenever they sniff, it's not a normal like... It's a clogged up sniff they always give in shows. I'm like, you can't fit any air or cocaine up that nose.
What?
You can't fit any cocaine up that nose. You can't get.
Let's hope not.
You can't fit cocaine up that nose. You can't fit Adderall up that nose. Right.
Let's.
You can't fit pixie sticks up your nose.
I mentioned cocaine because like I don't do cocaine, but like I was talking because on shows like, you often hear that noise when you watch a show or a movie where they're snorting cocaine, and it's like you hear that noise. It's like, how do you get any cocaine in that nose?
All right. Okay. Have we concluded the discussion of this main plot? I think we have, because there's still a couple other things that we need to discuss.
I'm going to go drain the main vein.
That's a complete non sequitur. You just wanted to say it.
Wait, is it? I did just want to say that. I also want to say the angle of the dangle is directly proportionate to the heat of the meat.
Okay.
Heat of the beat.
No, meat.
All right. What were you talking about not being popular
in middle
school?
What are you talking about,
school?
Heat of the beat? What?
How are you not popular in middle school?
Everyone loves me in middle school. I mean, no, they should have loved me, but they didn't.
Because you said earlier you were shitheads to them.
Yeah, I know. But that was after they were shitheads to me first.
Fair point.
And if I had thought through what I said more beforehand, I would have been like, yeah, that's a cool hat, you know, because it's like good for him. He's
thinking. It's a nice guy. It's a nice hat you got there.
I was just on the defense from the start because I was like, oh, here's another cool kid gonna give me shit. And
he's
so
always
like
thinking this guy.
And so I just said something stupid, which is probably why nobody liked me, because I probably did that a lot more than just on that one occasion.
Well, I'm glad this podcast therapy is helpful.
Yeah, podcast therapy.
I think you were in the right and everybody else was wrong.
Always. What were you talking about?
Always.
What are you talking about? Heat of the beat. It's not heat of the beat. The angle of the dangle is directly proportionate
okay.
to the heat of the meat.
Okay.
I think we need to get back to Star Trek.
Yeah, okay. I wouldn't worry about it.
I wouldn't worry about it.
I'm going to let you have that one.
This is the kind of thing I wouldn't worry about. You know how they say there's first world problems?
Yeah.
You got to come up with a whole new term for whatever the fuck that is.
That's some kind of like Northern Virginia problem.
Yeah, inside the Beltway problem. Okay, so let's shift over to one of the two other plot lines, specifically the Tendi one. Dan, as you noted earlier and observed quite well, another example of insecurity. She's nervous. She's doing what Tendi always does, which is the overstudying, but at the same time, not quite pointing her efforts in the right direction, right?
Mm-hmm.
Common example in real life where you can make the mistake of being like, oh, I've got to do this in order to accomplish this goal. And the whole time you're not understanding that there's this whole other thing that you kind of have to pay attention to as well. Mm-hmm. And so she's excited to have gotten into this senior science officer mentorship program. She is somewhat less excited when she goes into the cafeteria bar, whatever they're calling this area. And
the mess hall
and finds out, discovers the fact that Dr. Migliemu is her mentor. So that's first disappointment, is just that it's him.
Migliemu mentor.
Right. Even though she was quite happy to see him, she just was not cool with him being her mentor. She becomes further disappointed to learn that he doesn't seem to know what that this was even a thing. It's just been thrown on him last minute. So he's doing it.
It's like, there's lots of sciences.
Yeah.
Too many, if you ask me.
Which was a great line.
That is a great line. She goes, there's just the right amount. And it's like, it's a silly concept because there's just as many sciences as there are.
And Paul F. Tompkins is one of my favorite comedians, voice actors, improvisers. He's anything he does is great.
Real.
And as Dr. Migley Moo, he's just doing a fantastic job. All the intonation, the dramatic flair. They have him dressed up again. Unfortunately, I don't remember their name because it was even more ridiculous than OK_Dimension_4707. By the way, I did that off the top of my head. Now I'm not reading it.
But which underscore did you spell out?
The Dr. Migley Moo, somebody on Reddit mentioned that he's dressed kind of like Carl Sagan, and he kind of always has been. They have him in like a Carl Sagan, like the turtleneck with the blazer on top, and then he's got his little Starfleet emblem on the lapel of his blazer, which is, you know, it fits the role of the bird psychiatrist. He's slurping down worms. He said, can you bring me another order of millet, but cut me off after
that? Yeah, that was funny because I ate millet for the first time visiting some relatives the other day. And I was like, oh, that
didn't, didn't they grind it?
Is it bird food?
Well, so they ground the flax seed.
Yeah,
and
did they put it in your gizzard?
The millet was separate from like...
You have to stick it in your gizzard.
Hey, Dan.
That's what birds do.
Hey, Dan, how's your gizzard? How's your gizzard?
You know, there's a fast food fried chicken restaurant in Oklahoma where you can buy fried livers and fried gizzards at a fast food place. Anyways, so
it's a fun fact.
It's part of the bird.
No, there was some kind of flaxseed.
All birds.
Can you buy fried cloaca rings?
Okay, wait. Like, let me. Okay, hold on.
It's kind of like.
Hold your horses. Look, so he had millet, right? And
millet.
So I had millet for the first time the other day.
Okay.
And I was like, this isn't bad. So I went to look it up and buy some. I didn't see any at Safeway or anywhere. So I looked it up on Amazon and I found it. It was under bird food. So millet is bird food. And that's what I essentially ate was bird food.
Oh, man.
Yeah, but it wasn't bad. That's the thing. Millet's actually all right.
Ancient humans ate it.
Yeah, you know, it's good. It's good. Make it just right.
I like millet too, but I like
put
it.
Some soy sauce
I like it processed through the bird. I like the bird to eat it, and then I'll eat the bird.
You're just being gross.
You know,
that's called a food chain.
It's a process. It's processed millet.
Yeah. You're being weird.
It's organically processed millet.
I'm gonna go with that's probably the best way to eat millet.
So the weird pancakes I had was there.
I want to get some millet bagels. Can you get millet bagels? Because I love poppy seed bagels, so I might be into millet.
So when you thought I was talking about the flaxseed, that was when we were milling equal parts buckwheat.
Were you milling millet?
Can I finish the sentence first before you ask me the question, please? Thank you.
He's being very polite about it.
Milling equal parts of buckwheat, rye, and flaxseed, and then you mix them up, and then you make, and then you put some pancake batter on it, and it's
good.
Weird.
How's the poops after that?
The first couple days, it takes some getting used to. Some internal adjustment needs to happen.
I bet they smell funny.
It'd be more like they felt funny, but yeah. I'm sure they. I don't know.
Were they seedy?
Well, like rye.
Well, I flushed them down before I got a chance to smell it, because I didn't want to think about it.
You just couldn't smell the residual gases.
I mean, I.
Disgusting! Jesus Christ!
Well,
and some way, well,
at least we're not. At least we're not chomping on Violet Crumble.
Oh yeah! Damn! Oh shit! Shots fired!
I was chomping on it too.
First of all,
that's true.
First of all, I think it's hilarious that of all people, it's Jesse who's the one talking about like gases, fumes, and things like that, poop fumes. Second of all,
he doesn't usually talk about stuff like
you
that.
You got me going there with the seeds. And
it is funny that every week we put out a podcast. It's meant to be some fun, just some lighthearted fun to distract you from your day,
delicious
from
fun.
Your boring fucking life. Your shitty, boring, pointless fucking life.
Are you eating Violent Crumble on a podcast?
Violent Crumble. It's Violent Crumble, not Violent Crumble.
Violent Crumble.
But what is funny is, you know, we get emails and comments all the time and largely positive, sometimes constructive criticism. What's funny is that last week we mentioned all manner of disgusting, horrible things. And the thing that threw people off the most was Jesse and I briefly chowing down on some Violet Crumble.
Thank you for not including me in that because I was not a part
of
that.
No, you were not.
We offered,
I ate it quickly.
We did offer Dan it, but Dan declined the piece
it was
of violet crumble.
It's gross to eat that. No, I mean the violet crumble's good, but eating on the air is on the air.
I guess you're in the camp with these other people.
ASMR people are making millions of dollars.
Yeah, well, we are not.
Slurping on some soup.
I think a part of it is you get. Do what you advertise, and people who
violet
are,
crumble ASMR.
If you want to do an ASMR thing, do an ASMR thing. But if you sneak ASMR into places that aren't advertised as such, you run the risk of like grossing out a lot of people.
That is a fair point, but I would counter with the point that since everyone's already doing regular old ASMR, you've got to innovate. And our innovation was gorilla ASMR.
Oh man, I don't know if that's a good idea.
Yes,
with gorillas.
No. Well, by the way, you've just invented a $1 million idea, gorilla ASMR. If we could get our hands on a gorilla,
they'd get their hands on us first.
I don't know. I think gorillas are largely fairly gentle. Orangutans you got to watch out for.
Oh,
bonobos,
it's chimpanzees.
Like, chimpanzees. Orangutans are nice.
But they make noises.
Bonobos jerk you off. And gorillas, I think, are just chill.
Because if you go to a gorilla spot, if you go in their property, they will fuck you up.
Well, look,
they don't chase you down.
I'm not saying a gorilla is not going to fuck
you
up.
What a chimp does is a chimp will chase you down and tear your arms off and eat your balls.
No, mainly it rips off your balls and it rips off your face.
Okay, well, I basically
that's their go-to face and balls.
I basically said the same thing as you did.
That's what you got to go after.
But the point, they're not
strong enough to take an arm off.
Yes, they are. No, they totally are.
They're about 1.5 times the average strength. That's a new study that just came out.
Okay,
by the way.
Whatever.
It's a brand new study that came out. Chimpanzees on average are 1.5
strong
times
enough to rip off your face and your
balls. Plenty strong enough to rip off face and balls.
You're focusing on the wrong thing. You're focusing on the wrong thing, which is chimpanzees come after people and they're mean and they'll fuck you up. Gorillas will tear you up.
Oh, I thought you meant chimpanzees come after people like in the Planet of Apes way, like when people are extinct, then the chimpanzees will come.
No, it's not what I said.
It was one interpretation.
Like chimpanzee to chimpanzee.
Look. I said rip your arms and bite your balls,
okay,
and you're like, no, actually, right. They don't rip your arms off and bite your balls. They rip your balls off and bite your face.
I do fear that we've drifted somewhat off course.
But my whole point with that statement was chimps are mean. Gorillas are not mean, but they will fuck you up if you go into their territory.
I don't want to.
But you were like, your gorillas are chill.
I think, relatively speaking,
it's a fair correction
okay. Because yes,
no one
should do. Anyway, this is a bunch of nonsense because it's talking about gorilla ASMR and Jesse's pulling out some puns and sending us down this other road. It was already stupid that we're referencing last week's podcast anyway.
Yeah, it's really stupid.
So this week's podcast, Dr. Migley Moo, Tendy. Tendy's nervous. He gives her advice, which was actually good advice. They didn't play it that way. It was another weird thing about this episode because they definitely played it as Dr. Ta'ana is the one that is should be and really
and
is Tendy's mentor.
They played Migley Moo as kind of like a little bit.
They always play him a little stupid and obnoxious.
Yeah, he seemed like kind of incompetent at first. He's like, "Oh, I've never done this either." Ho ho! Yeah. And you think, "Oh, he's going to be terrible," but he actually had some really cogent.
Advice was very good managerial advice. It was good like leadership advice.
But speaking of Paul F. Tompkins, you're talking about how you like Paul Francis Tompkins. Born September 12th, 1968. He was born in Philadelphia, which would make sense then that Ensign Young would have a Maryland accent because Pennsylvania is pretty close to Maryland.
I like how you're like, and here's why it makes sense, because it's kind of close.
Because, well, I mean,
you've probably heard the same commercial.
I mean, how many people in California really know a damn thing about Maryland accents? It's not like a widely known thing, but people in the close by on the East Coast
maybe
area.
Maybe it was a Philly accent. Maybe you're wrong.
It wasn't a Philly.
They can be similar.
No, Philly says things instead of ass, they go like ace. And go ace.
But
it's really bad ace.
I mean, there's not a lot to this story.
I can't even do it. It's so weird
because it's just a series of obstacles that Tendy goes through, sort of escalating. And it's kind of interesting though because the obstacle is just herself, right? She's been given this advice to intervene. She hasn't done it. Ta'ana is the one that kind of gives her that extra push, but she's really. Jumping, she's really continuing the thing that Dr. Migley Moo said to
do. I will say that when Dr. Migley Moo did give some questionable advice, though, I don't think that encouraging an ensign to look too eager to a captain under stress is a good idea, because he was basically like, you got to make yourself known to Captain Freeman. Yeah. And he's like, she's got a big decision to make today. Yeah. She's going to be thinking about a lot of shit. And he's like, you got to prove that you're worthwhile, or whatever he was saying.
But Dr. Tana says the same thing in a different way, because she says you got to sometimes mess things up in order to set them right.
Yeah, but right. No, I agree. But it seemed like Miglimu was pushing more towards trying to be a goody two shoes, like kind of like be too eager. You got to learn when to step aside and let shit
maybe,
go down.
Maybe, I don't know. I
kind of
took his message to be like, no, but don't be shy about interrupting her. Don't be shy about making sure, because he made the earlier point he made is it doesn't matter how much you know if no one's listening to you. Mm-hmm. Right. And I think that's like some proper life advice there. Right. Which is you can be really great at some, it's like take playing an instrument or something. Like, yeah, you can be really great at playing an instrument, and that can please you. But if you want to, if your goal is to get other people to listen, you have to play for other people.
But there's a time and a place. And I don't think the right time is when the captain has a super important decision. Here's the line. He goes, Captain, this was after the line about nobody's listening, actually, right after, he goes, captains have big egos. You need to cut through that and speak for science, which is why you will be serving as a science officer training with Captain Freeman today. And then she goes, Tendi goes, isn't she busy with an important negotiation? Exactly. So there are certain times when the situation is too important to like take time out to like guide some newbie along.
I can understand where you're coming from. That might be another little bit of a minor flaw in this plot, because that advice is good retroactively, mm-hmm. in retrospect, because then she has to deal with a situation where she is suspicious about this rock with justification, because it turns out it's a whole scheme by the gobuloids, the scientists.
The glam-gelax.
And
Scrabble jabs.
Scrabble jabs.
And but no one's listening to her. And once she's scanned it, she's already like, okay, there's something weird here. Not necessarily bad, but she's already like, something's going on here. But Captain Freeman is not listening to her. And it kind of almost would have worked better if Dr. Miglimu had given her that advice after that, because that is his advice is good in the scenario
that
manifests.
I think that's a good point.
But I agree with you that it is confusing in the sense that he gives her that advice before we know there's any sort of issue. Mm-hmm. He's assuming that something will come up that will require her to get the information across to Captain Freeman and or whoever else needs to be there. Mm-hmm. So the advice is good. It's placed a little oddly in this episode. And part of that might be because they are trying to accentuate the idea that Dr. Tiana is actually the one who is the real mentor to Tendi. But even that message was a little odd, because it's like, well, she's kind of been the mentor for a while. Clearly, Tendi both respects her and can gets more from her because they know each other better. So I don't know. It was a little bit of a mixed bag of things. For me, what overcame it was Paul F. Tompkins was great as Dr. Miglimu. Anytime we see Tendi and Ta'ana, just Dr. Ta'ana, anytime she's tending to a patient is great.
Yeah.
That right? Dude had that thing. It was eating his foot. Yeah, and he had it was like blinking.
It was a little Rick and Morty alien eating his foot.
It looked
foot.
Like a sock. It was digesting his foot. I like how she pulled out a chainsaw and not some kind of medical laser.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure it was a medical chainsaw.
A future medical chainsaw. She's all like, ah!
And she was meowing. She was like, meow! So it was a fun little story.
It was a jaunt.
Yeah.
Was it a jaunt?
Let's take a break and then we can talk about a little bit more about the, you know, Captain Freeman and wrap things up, close this podcast down.
Close the podcast down with Captain Freeman. Let's go.
All right. Well, let's go to break and then we'll be back. All right. We'll be okay, Dan.
Okay.
All right. We'll be right back.
This is what you do on a break, man.
I think that's going in.
All right, we're back. we're back from that break.
That was a crazy break.
Kooky and crazy.
I had all sorts of stuff in my nose.
Okay. Ew,
nobody wants to know that.
So.
Nobody knows.
Did you have Violet Crumble in your nose?
No.
Captain Freeman. Captain Freeman. This was a very lighthearted setup, but I did enjoy it. This old versus new, old versus young kind of thing. And just the way they played it, the combination of the animation and the acting was so wonderful. Where he's like the other captain, what was his name? Captain Meyer?
I don't know if it's Meyer or Mayer,
something like that.
It's Maier.
Yeah. He's talking about, you know, it'll be good to see how the old school does it. Right. She's like, oh, they, what? old school. Right. Immediately setting up this sort of conflict between the more experienced, less experienced people, and you can see where you can see where those insecurities are coming from both sides. The younger captain wants to prove himself and wants to sort of demonstrate a separation from the old guard, while simultaneously craving and wanting their respect and all that other stuff. While Captain Freeman is like, this young upstart is, you know, treating me like shit. Or, you know, from her perspective, you know, basically making old jokes.
I thought there was an interesting line where, a notable line anyways, I mean, not interesting, but it was worth remarking upon. Some might call that remarkable. Oh. Yes.
That'll be up to Jesse and I and the wider audience.
Me and Jesse, you mean? Yeah.
No, it'll be up to Jesse.
Me and Jesse.
It'll be up to Jesse and I to judge whether or not it is.
It'll be up to
not
me.
Up to Jesse and me to Jesse. Jesse and I will judge.
Jesse whether or not it'll be up to me to judge.
Changing it up on you, Glavis.
It'll be up to me to judge.
Okay. Here's
originally you said it wrong.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
Grandma
said I said it right.
Grammar, what? You know, I will judge whether it's remarkable.
Yes,
my grammar.
Jesse and I will judge whether it's
that's
remarkable.
Not what you said.
That's what I said.
That's not what you said, though. You said something that you should have put me.
Okay.
You said something about Jesse and I will judge me. Well, I will. No, I can't remember what you said, but we'll play back the tape and now you'll see that I'm right. right. But you corrected yourself, so I'll give you that much.
Fuck you, man.
Okay, so he says the stuff he says. He goes, this is what he says. This is what he goes. He goes, collecting stuff isn't really a thing with my generation. I thought that was worth remarking upon.
These motherfuckers don't got Pokemon?
That was funny.
Because I remember reading an article, an internet article written by someone who proclaimed they were a millennial, a self-proclaimed millennial, where she was saying that millennials are accused of being lazy by the elders, but really...
The elders.
She didn't use those words, but you know what I'm saying. There was a whole article, it was the whole thing like, everyone calls millennials lazy, but, you know, we just focus on different things. Older people might spend a bunch of money on... older people might spend money on things like good china, like dishes, right? And whereas younger people, like older people criticize younger people because they spend a ton of money on brunch, and then her defense of that is like, well, we do spend a lot of money on things like brunch and avocado and stuff like that, but it's because we don't care about things, we care about experiences. So I don't know if that's a good argument or not, but I thought it was interesting because that pretty much what they said in that line there was exactly kind of what this article was saying. So I wonder if this article was just reflecting like a common sort of complaint, or if they,
I think that article and everyone involved in writing it and everyone involved in reading it and everyone who has an opposing view to that article, I think all those people are just dumb as a box of rocks.
So all the people for and against it are dumb?
I think the whole concept of having that discussion is silly.
Okay.
I think on all sides.
Okay, I thought you were including the set of everyone, where it was like people who are for it and people who are against it are all stupid, which means that's everybody.
I do think that kind of everyone's kind of stupid a little bit.
Yeah, that is stupid.
To a certain degree.
So I never said that I
include myself in that Venn diagram.
So I never.
This is a circle that you circle goes around the fucking
just
planet
one
Earth.
Circle.
No, so
we're all really, really dumb.
So we
worry about the wrong things.
Yes, I agree with
each
that.
Each and every one of
I
us.
I agree with that. And that's why I wasn't, it wasn't like something that I agreed or disagreed with. I was just kind of like, I guess. And so I thought it was interesting they said in the episode, because that's kind of like the same thing that I already said why I said. But point being is that I don't have an opinion on whether or not that's true. It just sounds like everyone's just kind of trying to make excuses for themselves, but I don't know.
I did like the idea of these two captains getting so wrapped up in this that when the rock is presented to them, that part of what prevents them from falling for the, what is a trick, right? Mm-hmm. It's a whole scheme by the crumbopuloids and the scientists.
Zapulons.
It's a bug.
To bug the office. They couldn't care less which of the captains. Just bug one of the captains to get more information. They're getting greedy. They're already slurping information off of people, you know, who are coming and visiting. But the sight of these two captains just fucking going at each other, increasingly, starting very polite but passive aggressive mm-hmm. and shifting into more and more aggressive was fun. I don't know mm-hmm. if there's much of a moral or point to it other than don't be stupid, don't worry about this stuff.
I think that when he was saying collecting stuff isn't really a thing with my generation, I think that was satirizing that whole discussion altogether.
You think that the writers read that particular article you read on the internet?
Well, I'm thinking that article wasn't invented by this person. I'm thinking that this person is just summarizing a bunch of Reddit comments.
Well, okay. It's quite probably true.
Yeah.
Funny enough, they don't summarize the Facebook comments. It's always Reddit that they summarize, yeah. and then they post it to Reddit, and then it goes on Facebook like a month later.
Yeah, they do. And then the reason
I don't want to get political, but I'm always here. My wife is always sending me, like, she's like, look at this funny meme. I'm like, oh, yeah, I saw that like 6 months ago on Reddit. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Then it ends up on Pinterest.
It's a Facebook. It goes Reddit to Facebook back to Reddit.
I said Pinterest once and someone made fun of me.
Yeah, well, I can understand that.
That person sucks, dude. Let's get him.
Yeah, for real. Well, Patrick said he could understand. It's like
I'm down to go get him too.
He wants to get him.
Well, because yeah. you can say interesting or you can say interesting. You can say either. So,
yeah.
So then that way you can.
Pinterest is a trademark term. I don't know how it's pronounced.
See, you just said Pinterest. That's what I said, and that person said no, it's Pinterest. So you're on my side, and you thought you were against me. You don't know what side you're on, Patrick.
I'm not necessarily on your side. In a formal allyship, but we are probably
allyship.
Yeah, if you're drawing a line, yes, we're on the same side.
Allyship.
I think the difference is I couldn't care less if somebody gets mad at me for mispronouncing a website that I do not use, and that I only get aggravated by in Google image results when I'm trying to like look up a Google image and it's a fucking Pinterest shit, and you can't download the image.
He said it again.
I want to download the Pinterest images.
The whole argument was that she was saying it's Pinterest, and people say it's Pinterest, but I'm saying it's either Pinterest or Pinterest because it's based on the word interest, which is interest or interest.
Longtime listeners of the podcast will recognize this conversation.
No, I get frustrated when I'm trying to like grab an image and it's on like Pinterest or some shit, and you use like,
I think Google's gotten a little better about that.
And you can't grab the image because it's on like fucking Pinterest or whatever.
I just said that. I think that's a complaint I just vocalized.
Yeah, well, I wanted to be complaining about it too.
Yeah. Star Trek is often about communication, listening to
each other. Oh, you're one to talk.
Except when your comms are blocked.
Both of you are ones to talk about listening.
No, we listen.
I didn't say anything.
Just because we're interrupting you does not mean we're not listening.
You're on a lie ship right now.
It may,
now.
In fact,
lie ship.
He's on a lie
be
ship.
Evidence that we are listening.
No, don't say things like that.
A cruise of subterfuge.
Cruise of subterfuge.
All right. Anything else about this Ms. Captain Freeman business?
So they were trying to push the pyramid on each other, and that's the only thing that saved them is because they were being really petulant. Their yes. petulance saved them. You said that too.
I did, as it happened.
See,
but,
I'm saying
but
it
you phrased it in a very nice way.
You phrased it in very nice way.
And you
very
used
nice.
The term petulant, which is great.
And you said it so well.
I think it's fantastic.
Petulant, yes. So yeah, right. That's the thing about stuff is if you say it last, people will just remember that you did it.
It's probably true.
Probably true.
Probably true, sadly. That scene was fun. They had all that funny food, the charcuterie and stuff going on. I haven't confirmed it for myself because I think it just went by too quickly, but I think somebody mentioned online that it's they had one of those cheese cutters or charcuterie, like some sort of like,
oh yeah,
the Enterprise shaped thing, which is like a real thing that you could buy. I don't know if they still make that, but, you know,
they had cheese and crackers, and they had chips and guacamole in this one too.
Yeah, except the chips were in the guacamole, which was weird.
That was weird.
It upset me a little bit.
Have we heard of Gimpari Sunrise? Is it Gimpari Sunrise?
I think it's a TNG thing.
Grimpari Sunstorm. That's what it is.
It sounds familiar. It
sounds like Campari, which is not, but it's Gimpari.
They have it at 10 forward.
Yeah, maybe it's one of those crazy drinks that Guinan can make, and it like has all sorts of vapors and business.
Yeah, I don't know.
Troy's into it. There's totally an episode with that, Jinx.
Yeah, I don't.
Troy's favorite drink is just you go in and it's just a room temperature melted chocolate in a highball glass, not hot chocolate, just like it's melted, just thick viscous melted chocolate. She just chugs it down and gets chocolate all over her face, and she doesn't give a fuck.
Right. She starts cussing.
Anything else, Dan? You're typing furiously there.
I'm trying to figure out what this Grimpari is, because Grimpari Sunstorm, they don't have anything on the internet about it, not even referencing Lower Decks.
Too fresh. Maybe it's new. Maybe it's a takeoff. It could be that the name in TNG is slightly different.
Yeah, but
it was a something Starburst or something.
Well,
that
was when Data made her something Starburst in the old style or something like. How did it go?
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm thinking of too. But sometimes they'll have like the Lower Decks latest episode stuff up in Memory Alpha within like a day and shit. So you never know.
What I like is a Klingon avocado, which is like the
avocado,
not an avocado, an avocado, avocado. You know, where it's like a rectangle. Gina with just a chunk of skin. Ice cream.
Skin.
You know, you just plop a chunk of
targ ice cream.
Yeah, it's like a targ flavored
cream.
Ice cream.
Some targ cream.
Like or blood wine ice cream with a raspberry on top. Good stuff. Good stuff. The ice cream melts. The
Klingon,
targ ice cream melts with the
Klingon
with the
raspberries.
Watch out, I got the Klingon raspberries. Klingon raspberries.
I can't think of there's not much else to say about because the
Klingon raspberries always grow in pairs of two.
Oh, that's a reference.
Two little raspberries next to each other.
There's not really much else to say about the Freeman stuff.
There we go.
I think Steve Urkel? I think it was someone.
Did I do that?
Yeah, I think it was Stevens. I think no, or it was Stevens, or was it the other guy? There was someone in Tana's office who says, "Okay, Doc, if I were brain dead for 10 minutes."
Yeah, that was Stevens. He mentions the koala.
He goes, "Yeah, how come I saw a koala sitting on a black mount? What's a black mount? There's a place called Black Mount."
Well, so they're combining a running joke. Of course, they've mentioned the koala a couple times before, like in the Ascension.
Black
episode.
Mount is a mountain range in Scotland.
Okay, I'm getting there. Okay. I'm using my mind
hold
memories
your horses.
To get there.
How can I hold
the koala was in the Ascension
hold
episode.
Your koala balls.
And it was mentioned at least one, maybe even this season or late last season. The koala was mentioned again as associated with death and who runs the universe. Who runs Bartertown?
Master Blaster.
There you go. And the Black Mount was mentioned by Shax when Shax died. He talked about going to the Black Mount.
Right.
So I think they're combining the Black Mount and the koala.
Okay.
Now, in all likelihood, this is just a fun, clever building on a previous gag, building it into a running gag. Part of me wants to hope that they're building this towards something where they end up like in the underworld on the Black Mound fighting the koala or something like that. And then they find out the koala is not God, because what does God need with a starship?
How is Stevens able to get his arms back? Really?
Well, the same reason
it's the golden age of science.
They already set that up with the other guy who's getting his foot cut off so they can grow him a new one. They can grow him.
I guess that
doesn't.
I guess maybe that was
grow him a new one.
Maybe that was the whole point. Maybe that was the whole point of that little
part.
Well,
yeah, but the thing is since Stevens has casts, my assumption was that when he got turned from stone back into regular old fleshy squishy human, his arms also did. They were just detached, so they probably just stuck him back on. Sutured them up with some sort of
crazy glue.
You'd have to like regrow arms, and then he'd have like little arms first, and then they'd grow bigger.
He didn't have the little Deadpool baby arms.
Oh, gross. You think they just like put glued his stone arms back on or something?
I did not say that.
What did you say?
I said that when he was turned back into human form, his arms would have also been turned back, but they're broken off, so then they can suture them back on. But some, you know,
there would be a lot of missing
some sort of future mutant.
There would have been a lot of missing arm bits, like laying around.
Well, they could also glue it all together while he was still stone, and
that's
then
what
turn
I suggested.
And then turn him back.
Well,
in,
that's what I
still,
suggested.
Still,
you were like,
healing.
No, I would say that.
Well, I didn't interpret what you said that way. I interpreted it a different way.
People know how to fix, you know, broken pottery. You go to the right guys.
Yeah, you just need to get all the sherds
repair
together.
Shop.
You need to get all the pottery sherds together.
Cave bug, we've got cave bugs in here.
Together.
Didn't that sound like when he goes, "We got cave bugs in here"? It was like
Dennis Nedry, nobody cares.
Yeah.
See, no one cares.
Yeah, who was he saying?
Dodson.
Dodson.
We got
Dodson
here.
See, nobody cares. Cave bug, we've got cave bugs in here. What's a cave bug?
It's like a bug in a cave.
It's like a cave cricket.
Caves have lots of bugs.
Yeah. Fuck.
So it's not just one type.
Like, yeah.
But they said it as if it was one type. It's just a bug.
Does it matter?
It's a spooky bug.
It
cave crickets.
Bug.
I've come to peace with cave crickets. I haven't.
Oh, no, I don't care about crickets.
Yeah, I used to be terrified of them, and now they're in my bathroom.
I've never really minded.
They're always in my bathroom hanging out now, and I'm just like, oh. It's the fucking when you see a silverfish. Or actually, I don't get silverfish. I get centipedes sometimes. Ugh, those things are horrible.
Cave crickets are like shrimp
if they keep
of the land. Just sure. a big, meaty, fat little
I bet they're pretty. Yeah, I bet they're pretty good.
Yeah, just fry them up.
Mariner, I've been noticing now that Mariner does a lot of groaning. I mentioned it last episode when she was doing all the groaning all throughout the episode. She groaned twice in this episode. One time when she was like talking about like, oh, Ransom, you doing your to give us a briefing or a stand-up routine? And then Stephen's like, oh, no, his stand-up's much more raw, unfiltered take on dating and mating. And she's like,
dating and mating is such a disgust. That's almost as bad as the term gentleman's relish.
Yeah, that's gross.
Baby and then, batter.
And then she goes,
dating and mating.
Then she goes, ah, she groans. And then when she picked up the fantasy stone before Rutherford sees Leah Brahms, when she picks up the fantasy stone before that, and she goes, ah. Just notice it. She groans a lot. She does a lot of groaning.
You just commanded us to notice it.
I did.
You just said, notice it.
I command you.
Well, you told me to.
Witness me.
I will strike you down.
You told me to know something earlier. You told me to know. You know that this is lower decks. I don't remember. You better know. You were like, you know this is a blah, blah, blah. And like
you're acting like I'm critiquing when I'm just observing.
No, watch it. No, I'm saying you accused me of something, but you did the same thing. You told me that I knew that
you're taking it as an accusation. You're saying, it's just
a turn of phrase that is a silly turn of phrase, I think, when someone's like, you know, this is blah, 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 right? Like, it's like, well, why are you telling me I know?
That was like at the beginning of the podcast, long time ago.
So Mariner's an unstoppable force of nature. Rutherford's a genius with crazy implant powers. Tendy's a ray of optimistic sunshine. And Boimler is a tiny comedic robot that's always getting into trouble. Perhaps a hovering cube.
Please tell him on people.
One of my people.
Yeah, people.
I want to be people.
Yeah, well, Boimler wants to be people.
That last line was really probably one of my favorite parts of the episode. It was endearing. It was sweet. It was cute. It was adorable. It was appropriate and all that other good stuff. If you know what I'm saying.
Some people.
Okay. Anything else? Odds and ends?
No, that's it.
Does that do it?
Does it do it for this
animated episode?
Game over, Dan.
Game over, man.
Game over, man.
There was one part where Boimler and Rutherford were talking at the same time, and I want to say what they said. I want to separate them so we can all know for sure what they said.
Okay.
Rutherford goes, we tussled with Mugatos. Mm-hmm. We tussled with the Packleds. Mm-hmm. Actually, twice with the Packleds.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And we scared the crap out of that drill instructor. Boimler says, well, there was that Klingon who took off in the ship and he was drunk. Mm-hmm. Then our ship got terraformed. Was there a thing with time travel? Have we done a time travel thing? The interesting part is that the part where he says that then our ship got terraformed, that didn't actually make it into the closed captions.
Interesting. That's fascinating.
And it didn't make it into the transcripts either.
Somebody dropped the ball at the transcription service.
There was something else off about the closed captioning. I forget what it was.
As we've described before on the podcast, Dan and Jesse will often view the show with the closed captioning on. I like to fly by the seat of my pants.
I do it only
sans closed captioning.
It's important to note that I only do it on the second time.
Yes, it is important. I was going to get.
Sometimes I only do it on the first time.
Wow, that's weird.
Or not at all.
So wait, sometimes you do it both times. Sometimes you do it one
sometimes
time.
Sometimes I either only do it on the first viewing or I don't do it at all.
That's interesting to me. At Pelix 2, they have the Pleasure Festival. What do you think they do at the Pleasure Festival?
They have a lot of Umaks and Jamaharan.
And they have Horgons galore.
Horgons galore. Let's open a store at the mall called Horgons galore.
We'll sell
Horgons and other related items.
Some more.
Yeah. Like a big old sack of condoms. Space condoms.
Space condoms.
With extra space.
Oh, the Borg snake at one point said, give us your distinctiveness.
Yes, that's a Borg thing to say. Because it's like, we'll incorporate your distinctiveness into our own.
It made me think more, and I was thinking more like, give me your distinctiveness so I can be more distinctive. But it actually means the opposite. It means, give me your distinctiveness so I can take away your distinctiveness so you don't have it anymore.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So I think that will indeed do it for us this week. On the It's Got Star Trek podcast. Your favorite podcast.
See, you're doing it again.
That's my favorite podcast.
You know it's your favorite podcast, right?
Well, that's like a marketing thing, isn't it?
You know it's your favorite podcast.
No, that's how it works. You tell people that we're good.
You know that's it is my favorite podcast.
You know that's how it works, don't you?
You know this is what we're supposed to
do.
Out of all the podcasts,
what if I don't?
Out of all the podcasts you could fall asleep listening to, This is
the one.
This is one of those.
Is that a good thing?
I don't know if people can fall asleep to our podcast.
Ah!
Yeah, it might not be. This might be more a sweep in the deck podcast, you know, or fixing the couch cushions podcast,
or a sweep the deck,
driving to
Baltimore to get some blue crabs, get some Natty Bo and French's fried chicken, that sort of podcast. But yeah, it's got Star Trek. Appreciate your patronage.
Have you ever had those biscuits from that Bojangles place?
Sure.
Yes, they're delicious.
Yeah, they're good. Reminder, programming note that starting next week, next episode, we will be releasing on midnight Monday morning. Minor change in our release schedule. We will also next week be discussing Lower Decks Season 3, Episode 4. And I don't know for sure the title of it, because there's a few different titles floating around. One place calls it, it says it's going to be called Reflections. Another one says it's going to be called, I don't know, something else. So we'll see. We just don't want to pick the wrong name here. So, you know, probably by tomorrow we'll know what it is.
Where is the nearest Bojangles?
Down south.
Yeah, I know. Is it up north?
I think there's none of them inside the Beltway.
I bet you're right.
I was looking up something on books.google.com. I typed in Grimpari. There's this person named Lady Charlotte Grimpari. And you know this books.google.
Was she Italian?
I don't know. But
I mean, Charlotte doesn't sound very Italian, but Grimpari might
be. But this is interesting. Books.google.com, it has what looks like a scanned pages of a book, like a book scanned, like the actual pages, and you can search by keyword even though it's scanned pages. Yeah. I know that that's possible now with like Google Lens and all those other things.
Yeah, they got that OCR. You know that old OCR? Is that what OCR?
But I mean, I know.
Optical character recognition?
I mean, this just put I knew that he had it. It's just, this really put into perspective for me that like it's just a common thing. You can look through books now. Through it, and like I remember, not 10 years ago, it wasn't really a thing.
You can look through books.
10 years
ago, read a book now.
10 years ago, people weren't even talking about this, and now it's just so ubiquitous.
What do you think is going to happen in the next 10 years?
It's ubiquitous. I think Lady Charlotte Grimpari is English. They're talking about lira pounds or something.
All right,
Is it lira?
Lira is Italian.
Oh shit! Right. What is that? What is the other word for pound?
Nobody cares. You mean a quid?
Maybe I'm talking about
quid.
So yes, next week we'll talk about whatever the next episode is called. And
shut you down.
And nobody cares.
And we'll have another excellent and ribald and righteous
egg salad.
Excellent conversation of some sort about whatever happens next week and
whatever happens.
Pound sterling.
Pound sterling, exactly.
Quid.
Quid pro quo.
Quid pro quo.
Quo.
Strangers on a train. Alfred Hitchcock. It's a pretty good one. So
Snakes on a Plane.
Flangers on a Plane.
Samuel L. Jackson.
In the meantime, you can reach us on social media at It's Got Star Trek, and Twitter and Instagram.
Twitter.
Find us on YouTube, which is that's a website where you can watch videos.
Now that's a website.
That's become very popular of late. So we do put the podcast up there with a static image. You might be listening to us on YouTube right now. What else?
It's fun.
I probably said, if I didn't, Facebook, of course. And you can go to the website, www.itsgotstartrek.com.
You know where to find it.
And that the website's helpful, folks, by the way, because you might want to just listen to episodes in which we discuss, say, Star Trek TNG. Well, you can click on the Star Trek TNG menu item and it'll filter the podcast by just those episodes.
Wow, that's really great, Patrick.
And by the way,
what about if I just want to see Enterprise?
Oh, I was going to say, good. Thank you for bringing that up, Jesse, because it doesn't work just for TNG. It also works for Enterprise.
That would be silly if it only worked for just TNG.
What about the animated series?
You know what? We're going to throw that in for free.
All right.
You guys are stupid.
I'm not gonna argue with that point.
I guess not.
I did laugh so hard just now that I've gotten a little dizzy, so we should turn off the podcast.
Stop it. Too silly. Being too silly.
And we will talk to you next week on Monday at midnight. So not the same time.
Not this. Today. Wait.
Normally it's around the same time.
Are people listening to this on Saturday now?
People are listening to this on Saturday. Oh, all man. the good people.
But the next time they won't. They will listen to it on Monday.
We'll never need to do a time travel podcast Monday, because it's always a time travel.
Monday. Oh, shit.
So a little later than the normal time next week. But after that, for future people, you won't even notice.
Future people.
Future people.
Drill bit on your table.
Drill bit.
Yeah. That's not an unusual thing to have on a table.
No.
All right. So we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
About that.
A little bit.
I'm sorry.
Did I step on your...
Do you want
to... We need emergency...
Okay, wow. I can walk over there.
Are you sure?
Okay. No, it's fine.